So the shear tonight is pre-perm shear on McGill Sester. I know we're a little early, but I wanted to speak about the positive qualities of Achashverosh. So we're going to look through some of the McGill Sester, and actually the Midrashim point out that there are some good aspects of Achashverosh. So we'll try to understand, A, what they are, and B, why it's important to know about these qualities of Achashverosh, being that he was a Rasha. So let's start with source number one, Esther Perek Beis. So I'm kind of going in the order of, in which I discovered this Medrash myself. So I'm trying to show you at least how I came through this year or came across this year. And really I was looking at source number one, the Psukim over here, and I came across an interesting Torah Tamima, and it led me down this path. So we'll start with this first source. It's Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Beis. And it's basically talking about how when after Vashti died and Achashverosh was looking for a new wife and a new partner, so he had this whole system worked out where he picked up all the women in town and he would have them beautify themselves. And let's look at the Psukim inside. So it says, in Yud Beis, Uvagia tor na'ara v'na'ara lavo la melech Achashverosh miketz heyos lach. Kedas the Hanashim Shemasar Chodesh, Ki Kain Yimlu, Yime Marukihin, Shishachar Hashem Hashem and Amor, Shishachar Hashem Babisamim, Visamrikian Hashem. So each woman that was picked up for Achashverosh with the potential of being his wife, they were beautifying themselves for 12 months. They spent 6 months in oil, myrrh, and 6 months using other types of treatments to make them as beautiful as possible. And then when it was their time, they would go meet with Achashverosh, and he would sleep with them. Yud Gimel Uvazeh Hanara Ba El Hamelech Iskol Asher Tomar Yinasein Lo Lavo Yimam Yibes Hashem Abes Hamelech. So the woman, she could take what she wanted from the Beis Hamelech before she met with Achashverosh, and Ba Erev He Va'a Uvaboker He Shava El Beis Hashem Sheni El Yad Shashgas Sris Hamelech Shomer Apilek Shem. So in the evening, she would come to sleep with Achashverosh, and then in the morning, she would return to a second house that would house all the women that slept with him, and this became the concubine house of Achashverosh, and whenever Achashverosh wanted to sleep with a particular woman, he would just call them and say, I want you tonight, and they would come to him. So the Torah, the Tanakh, Esther, it discusses how Achashverosh had the system of sleeping with each one of these women in order to find the one who was right for him, in order to find the chosen wife, which ended up being Esther. So what exactly, this sounds pretty bad, and it's not exactly a good quality that Achashverosh has, but yet the Gemara and the Medrash seems to indicate that there's some good here. So it's really strange that it's brought down here. But if you look in source number two, it's Vabukar Hishava. So she used to, each woman would go to Achashverosh at night to sleep with them, and then they would return in the morning. So Amar of Yochanan, Meginuso shall also Rasha Lamanu Shvacha. Shalo Yamishamish Mitaso Biyom. So from the Genus, from the disgustingness of this Rasha, we also learn a Shevach, a good quality, something to praise him for, which is that he only had relations, he only had Bia at nighttime, and he didn't have Bia during the daytime. So it's a funny type of thing that the Medrash is pointing out, that the good quality that he had while sleeping with all these women was that he refrained from sleeping with them in the daytime, and his chosen time of day was at nighttime. But what exactly is this Shevach? What's the Midah Tova here of Achashverosh, and what's its relevance to the idea of Achashverosh in Megillas Esther? So if you look in the Torah Tumim over there, so the source for this is V'hashevach b'zeh yesh lomar al pi mashakasa benida yud zayin amud aleph. So the source of this shevach that Achashverosh had this good quality that he would only sleep with his concubines at nighttime as opposed to during the daytime is based in Nida, Gemara Nida. B'tam miniyazu b'chol anashim shem yireba davar maguna v'tisgan alav. So the reason why you're not supposed to have bia, I always thought it was just because it's nias, but there's another reason. During the daytime is that you might see something And because it's light and you might see something and you'll be turned off by it. It might be something that turns you off. So it's better to be in the dark at nighttime. V'atorah amra v'hafta l'reicha kamocha. So it's funny reasoning. The reason why you're not supposed to have bia during the day and at night is because of v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, lest you find something that's unpleasing about your wife or the woman that you're sleeping with. And we'll see later on in the Marsha why it's v'hafta l'reicha kamocha. The ayin v'medesh rabba, parsha echad pasuk gimel, chashiv dal midos tovo sh'yibach hashverosh v'tzarachin sh'lo chashiv midazu. So there's another medrash which we're going to discuss where it mentions the four good qualities of Achashverosh, but it doesn't mention this one. It never talks about the fact that he only slept with his concubines at night as opposed to during the day. So the question was, why was this one left out? Seemingly it's a different idea than the others, and we'll see why. But it's a funny type of shevach that the medrash is placing on Achashverosh this idea. So what's the relevance of this idea? What's the concept? And why do we care about it? You know, what does that have to do with Megillas Esther? So I'm going to put all these questions together, and hopefully by the end of this year, so there'll be some suspense here, by the end of this year, we'll just have one concept to try to explain, you know, the theme of Achashverosh's positive qualities. Is there one theme to them? And furthermore, why we should know about it. So let's look at the Gemara, because we shouldn't just trust the Torah Tmima, even though he's trustworthy. But we should also look up every source. And the Gemara in Nida, it says, Amar Rav Chisda, Asur lo la'adam shishamish mitaso biyom. It's actually Asur for a person to have relations in the daytime. Shenemar, v'hafta l'recha kamocha. Because it says that you should love your friend like yourself, as you would yourself. My mashma. So what's the mashmaos of the pasuk? Amar abaye, shema yiraba dover meguna v'tzisgan el lov. So the same reasoning, that you might come across something unpleasing about her, and she'll be disgusting to you, and it'll be a turnoff to you, and then it'll be a lack of v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, because you wouldn't want to be disgusting to her. And the Marsha kind of says the same thing. He says shnemar v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, shema yiraba davar meguna, v'al pi mashikasa v'haikra, my desani lach l'chavracha or l'chavrach lo sa'avid. That which you dislike, you shouldn't do to your friend. L'ze amru hamishamish mitasa l'ora ner. So he says that what's going to happen is that just like you wouldn't want to be disgusted to another person, so too, you shouldn't do that to her. You shouldn't do that to the woman and put her in a situation where she might be unappealing to you. So it's a mida keneged mida idea. I always thought, again, it was just tznias, and I think there is an idea of tznias, because right after that, Gemara Nida talks about the Kedusha of the Jewish people, that they have relations at nighttime and not during the day. But this other idea is an interesting one, and the reasoning behind it is v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, that just like, you know, you wouldn't want somebody else to find something displeasing about your body in the open light, so too, you shouldn't put your wife or a woman you're sleeping with in the same situation. So, but it's interesting, again, the main question that we're going to take up is not this idea in particular, but what are the good qualities of Achashverosh? And this is one of them. One of them was that he had bia at nighttime as opposed to during the daytime, which is a funny type of idea in Achashverosh, because we always assume that he was such a glutton and he was just this type of maniac, but yet there was some aspect of him that, you know, that the Torah and the Midrashim are highlighting was positive. And that was the idea that he had bia only at nighttime and not during the day. But what is the relevance of that? Who cares? What's the real midah that we're supposed to look up to in Achashverosh? So let's just keep going a little bit. And we're going to do that medrash that the Torah Tuma quoted. And that's how I came to this medrash. So I'm showing you the way that I came to these ideas. So the Torah Tzimim over there, he says that why wasn't this one included in the Medrash that talks about the qualities, the four good qualities of Achashverosh? So what are those four good qualities of Achashverosh? Where is that Medrash? So he says it's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. So let's look at the Psukim over there. It's the very beginning of Megillas Esther. And we'll look through Rashi and that Medrash, and we'll try to define it. So it says at the beginning, hopefully everyone knows this, Vayhibi me'achashverosh, shu'achashverosh, hamolech mehodu v'akush, sheva v'asrim me'amedina. So it was in the times of Achashverosh that he was Achashverosh, who was the king from Hodu ad to Kush for 127 states. By Amimahim, in that time, Kishavas Melech Hashverosh Akisim Machusor Sheva Shushan Abira. So he was the king who sat on his throne in Shushan, the capital city. Bishnash Shalosh Lamalchu Asa Mishdel L'chol Sarav Avadav Chil Parasu Madaya Partimim Misarei Medidos Lefanav. So it was the third year of his kingship, and he made this whole party, and he had all these officers and officials come to this massive party. So if you look in 7, we'll just do Rashi just to see some of the pshat before we get to the Medrash. But Rashi says over there, Vayhi b'mi'ach Hashverosh, Melech pras haya, shemelech tachas koresh, l'sof shivim shana shel galus bava. So he was the Persian king, and he served as the king in the place of Koresh, for 70 years after Galus Bavel, after the Jews left for Bavel, they were exiled. Hu Achashverosh, hu Berisho mitchilaso v'ad sofo. So Rashi says that he was the same Rasha from the beginning to the end, but yet the Medrash seems to indicate that there were some good aspects to him. Like we saw before, he was somebody who chose to have bia with his women at nighttime, which seems to be a good, but he's still Rasha from the beginning to the end. So it makes it even more difficult, why we need to know that he had some good qualities. What's the relevance of it? Because we know that he was a Rasha. So let's keep going in Rashi, if you're following along. Source number 7. So it says over there, that's going on Hamolech. So Shemalach me'atmo v'lo mizer melucha. So we're all familiar, hopefully, that Achashverosh himself was not of kingship descent. It was through his wife, through Vashti. Mehodu v'ad Kush, and he was the king over this vast land, vast country, Hamolech ad, or vast area, Hamolech ad me'av eshrim b'shev medinos, kemosh Hamolech Mehodu v'ad Kush, she'omdim ze etzel ze. So he was a strong ruler, and he ruled over all of the states the same way he ruled over these cities who were right next to each other. So he had the same level of power throughout. He who rode there b'chol eiver anar mitivsach v'ad azo, shaya rode there b'chol eiver anar, kemoshe who rode there mitivsach ad azo. So they just bring a raya that what it means, Hamolech mi'o hodu v'ad kush, is showing you the strength of his rulership, that he ruled Hodu and Kush, he ruled all of his states the same way he ruled Hodu and Kush. Okay, so now we have the background, Achashverosh, Russia, but a good guy because he chose to have bia at nighttime. But what else, so what are some other good qualities that he had? So if we look in Pasuk Beis, just to Rashi quickly, he says the Kesheves Amel Chashverosh, Kineskayim Amalchus Biado, Rabbeinu Pirshu B'Inin Acher Masechus Megillah. So after 3 years, when he was all established, or actually when he Kesheves Amelch is that he was established as the king, and then after 3 years, look at number 9, he decides to make a party. So this is the Medrash, the source that the Torah Tzmima was hinting to, and it says over there in number 9. So he made a party on the third year of his kingship. Rav Yehuda of Rav Nechemya. So there's two opinions. Rav Yehuda Amar Bishnash Shalosh L'Maleches HaKise. So he says that it was 3 years where they fashioned his throne. It took 3 years to build his throne. Kevon Shegamar Maleches HaKise. After they built this elaborate throne for Achashverosh, Asa Mishteh L'Chol Sarav Avadav. At that point, he felt so happy that he made this massive party. So Rav Yehuda says that the reason behind the party was that he had established this beautiful throne, and he had it built, custom-made for him, and he was so happy and delighted by the throne that he gave a party. So it's one thing we have to define is why it took him 3 years to make this throne. Rav Nechemya Amar Bishnas Shalosh Levitol Meleches Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Nechemya says no, it was tied to the nullification of the work of the Beis HaMikdash, that he was so happy. Kevon Shegamar Levitol Meleches Beis HaMikdash Shalosh Shanim, after 3 years that no work had been done in the Beis HaMikdash to the Beis HaMikdash, he was so happy. Asa Mishta L'chol Sarav Avadav, he made a very big party. So we have to understand what the machlokes here is, and we'll see how it fits into the next part. So the two sides are that Achashverosh made a party because he had this elaborate throne created, and after 3 years, it took 3 years to make this beautiful throne, and then it was ready, and he was so happy that he set up a party. But the other side is saying that it was because of the Melechus HaMishkan, that it was Mevutal, for 3 years, or at least this is 3 years after it stopped. They stopped working on it, and he was so happy that he made a party. So Amar of Shmuel Bar Imi. So now go back to the Medrash, and this is the key. Arba dvarim tovim hayu ba'oso ish. So in Achashverosh, there are actually four good things about him. So aso shalosh shanim below keser uvelo kise. So he waited 3 years. He was king without the crown and without the throne. So that's a good thing. V'himtin arba shanim achimatza isha ho'geneslo. Also, he waited 4 years before he found the right woman, Esther. So it took 4 years from the death of Vashti till he found Esther. Okay, so that's number one. That's actually number three, because number one is below Kesser, number two is below Kisei. Then there's that he waited 4 years to find the right woman. V'lohaya osa davar ach nimloch. And then the last good thing about him was that he didn't make any decisions until he consulted with others, until he thought about it. Okay, so these are nice ideas about Achashverosh, but is there a common theme within all these ideas, these concepts? And why, again, the question is, why do we need to know about his good qualities? What's the Medrash trying to highlight about Achashverosh? And then there's one last thing. Amar Pinchas, v'chol mishaya osa botova hayo kosva hu adin vayimatze kasov asher higin Mordechai. And also the last possibility, another good thing about him, was that anytime anybody did anything good for him, he wrote it down, which is what happened with Mordechai, that Mordechai had saved him from the potential execution, assassination by Bigson and Seresh, and therefore his name was written down. So that's the fourth, or the fifth, depending on how you count it, idea that's mentioned in the Medrash that was good about Achashverosh. So again, all the questions that emerge from this strange Medrash are that, A, what's the machlokes of why he partied, and B, what are the good qualities, and how does it fit in with the previous, and what are these good qualities that he has, and is there a theme behind it, and why do we need to know it, or what's the value of knowing it about Achashverosh? And seemingly it was hidden from us to teach us an idea. It wasn't mentioned openly in the Megillah, because we should recognize that he's a Rasha, but yet there's some glimpse of good in him, and these are the things that made him good. But again, what is the theme here? What's the concept? And why do we need to know it? So those are all the questions. So I'm not just going to give away the answer. We have to go through each one, try to understand in more depth what was going on, and then we'll come to an answer. So we will get to an answer at the end of the shiur, as usual. So what exactly is the deal? What's the deal with the fact that he waited? That was the first good quality that he had. He waited 3 years to build his throne. So it says in source number 10, the Torah Tmima, we're doing a lot of Torah Tmima tonight. It says, Kamasha Kasav Kishevis Amelech al Kisei Malchuso, Im Kain Ad Ata Lohaya Lo Kisei Malucha. So it sounds like from the Pasuk, it says, Kishevis Amelech al Kisei Malchuso. It doesn't say that. It says, Kishevis Amelech. Hold on, let's go back to the Pesukim. Back up. So the Pasuk says, Vahim Yachash Rosh. Yeah, it does say it. Al Kisei Malchuso, right. So what's the idea that he sat on this Kisei Malchus after 3 years? So the answer is that he didn't have a Kisei. Imkin Arata Loyalo Kisei Malucha. So he didn't have a Kisei. He didn't have a throne. Vesvirle, the below Kisei in Keser. And the Svara is that without a throne, he also didn't have a crown. Vidarish Lamalcho Al Hemshech Pu'ulas Hisyastus Malchuso. But he did have a foundation of Malchus. So why did he wait so long to build a throne, and why is that important in terms of like understanding a good? Because the Medrash seems to say that one of the good qualities of Achashverosh was that he built this throne in three years, and he was still the Melech. But why did he wait so long? So there's an interesting Medrash about that. Also interesting background, and then I promise you, actually I don't want to promise, but we're going to get to an idea, but if you look in source number 11, Al Kisei Malchuso, what exactly was going on? Why did Achashverosh wait 3 years in building his throne, and also, apparently, that's also the crown? So if you look in source number 11, it says, Rav Azaria Omer, Al Kisei Malchuso Ksiv, Lefisha Ba Leishev Al Kisei Shlomo, V'lohinichu Amad V'asalo Kisei Mishalo Bid Musa. So he originally wanted to sit in the throne that was constructed for Shlomo. It was Shlomo's throne, but they didn't let him do that. And the Torah Tumimah says it's not clear who didn't let him. So therefore, he tried to mimic the throne of Shlomo, and he had the identical throne of Shlomo made for him. But it took 3 years to make it because it was so elaborate. The woodwork or the gold and whatever was on it was so elaborate that it took 3 years. And so the question, another question is, why did he want that? Why did he want that so badly? And why, again, why is this a good thing? So look in source number 12. Again, just one more Torah Tmima. It says, Kavanas Akushya de Lashon Kise Malhuso Mashma da Malucha Shalo. Sounds like the Malucha is his. Elahavale Lamemar al Kise Hamalchus. It should say on the Kise Hamalchus, on the throne. Why does it say on his throne? Umishani de Bol Lirmos Shaasalo Kise Kikise Shlomo. So the idea is that it's coming to teach us that he made a Kise that was identical to the Kise of Shlomo. Aval Kise Shlomo Lohani Chu Leshev. They would not let him sit on the Kise Shlomo. The lonis bar mi lohiniach l'so, but nobody knows who stopped Achashverosh from sitting on there. V'ulaya medina ba'atzma be'esh manu l'melech. Maybe the actual states, when they said he was the king, they said you can't sit on that throne. V'yesh ba'agodosh sh'achayos sh'v'kise shlomo lohinichu v'tzarech iyon. So some say that the animals that were on the kise shlomo didn't allow it, but he says it's tzarech iyon. So we see an interesting factor about Achashverosh, that This kise, this throne, was such that he spent 3 years. He had 3 years of people making it, and in order to replicate the throne of Shlomo. But yet, it's considered a good quality that he had. Like the Medrash says that he waited for 3 years. So what is that good quality? What's the concept? And same thing. Why did he want the exact same replica of Shlomo's throne? And where's the good here? What's the good idea in Achashverosh here? All right, so let's just do the last couple ones, and then we'll get closer to the end here. So any questions up to this point? I want to stop here. Any questions? Hopefully it's clear. Any ideas that anyone wants to share at any point in the shir is totally fine. Any ideas?
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes, there we go. Yes, sure.
So, you know, just a question. In other words, Bia la'or haner is to usher.
Yeah.
During the day is also.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be two different things. In other words, the point is that that the light allows fantasy to take place, or it's not, like you said, it's not a chesed because you might find something that's maguna.
Right.
But it shouldn't, in other words, the quality that you're praising him for not having bia during the day, it should be not having bia in the light.
Right. I mean, that's what it means, but so what you're saying is very interesting. I think what you're saying is that there's other ideas, not just the idea of Meguna, but there's also an idea of Tznius, right? By not having bia in the daytime or in the light. And it's hard to say that Achashverosh was a tsanua because the guy's like sleeping with all these women. So I think that's why, because in Nida, there's two different ideas related to not having bia during the day. One is the idea of tznius, but the other idea is this idea of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So I think that the Torah Tmima, shows us that the reason, because it doesn't say openly why he didn't sleep with the women during the daytime, but he chose the one of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha because the tznius idea is kind of a hard one with regard to Achashverosh. He wasn't exactly a tzanua, it doesn't seem like. So it seems like it's the other idea of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And I think they're deliberately choosing that one as opposed to tznius because that would be the good quality that Achashverosh is expressing. But it wouldn't make sense to say that Achashverosh was a tzanua because the guy's, sleeping with all these women, So it doesn't seem like that was his characteristic. But we'll come back to it. We will come back to it.
But
yeah,
it's hard to say about after Mocha, if after he slept with each one of these women, they were sent to a second house and left there for eternity until he called them,
Well, they were given good stuff. You're assuming that they were sent to like a trash house. No, they were sent to a nice house. They had somebody who would like watch over them. Shashgaz. He was a good guy.
I know, but they were prisoners basically.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe just being a concubine to the king was something of pride back then. I don't know. Maybe they just maybe they like the lifestyle. They were given the nice house, and I don't know. I'm not. That's a good question.
After a gemacha seems like a bit of a stretch.
I hear that. All right. All right. So let's just keep going a little bit, and then we'll answer some of the questions. So if you look in source number 13, so the first quality that he's praised for in the Medrash is the fact that he served as king without the kisei and the keser. So the kisei and the keser, the throne and the crown, are tied to one another, like the Torah Tmima says. And the reason why he was king without it is because he insisted that it look exactly like the kisei of Shlomo. Because originally he wanted to sit on the throne of Shlomo. It was an elaborate, beautiful throne, but he waited. So he's praised for that. There's some type of good quality there. The second is that he waited to marry Esther. He waited 4 years. So if you look in source number 13, it says, "Dehama'ora im Vashti ha'isa b'shna shalosh l'malchuso." So when Vashti was executed, that was the third year. So even though he was having this all this fun with all these women, it took 4 years before he settled down with Esther. So for some reason that's a good thing. So that's the second good thing. And then there's 14. He always used to ask people for advice. He was always nimloch. He would always think about it. And if you look in Esther and in Perek Aleph, we see that right after the Vashti experience. So after the whole incident with Vashti, where she refused to appear before him and naked, so what happened was that he brought in all of his judges and all of his advisors. So he brought in all of his trusted advisors who were closest to him. Because he wanted to know what to do with her. So we see the third or the fourth, depending on if you consider Kisei and Keser as two separate ones, was that he always asked. And if you look in the Torah Tmima, he brings that down over here. Even though the Medrash doesn't mention this pasuk, he says in 15, Amar Shmuel bar Imi, Mida tova haisa be'oso ish, shelo haya ose davar ad shenimlach, that he never made a decision without consulting. Hadahu dechsid ki chein devar melech lefnei kol yodei das. So that's why it says, it's based on this pasuk, that you see that after the whole story of Vashti, he asked for some advice. And the Torah Tmima says, "B'medrash Rabba lo nismach ma'amar zel pasuk." In the Medrash itself, it doesn't quote this pasuk. "Ukanir li lamdu zeh mi pasuk zeh." It seems like they learned it out from this pasuk. "Lachin kavanu drashazu kan vehavanua b'muskar ledas ki lo m'lashon ha'medrashu ki im tosefes mishalanu." So the Torah Tmima brings this in as the source for the idea that he always consulted, even though it's not really in the Medrash. But we'll see. I'll show you that there's another example, another good example of this. So this was the other positive quality of Achashverosh, based on Rav, what was his name? It was Rav Shmuel bar Imi. He has these, that he waited for the Keser and the Kisei, that he took 4 years for him to get married. And the last one was that he always asked for advice. And then finally, the last example was Rav Pinchas, I think, and he points out that the fourth or fifth, depending on your count, aspect of positive quality of Achashverosh was that he wrote down whenever somebody did something good to him. And if you look in source number 17, it says Vayivukasha Davari Vayimatze Vayitalush Neim Al Eitz Vayikasev B'Sever Devrei Yamim Fnei Melech. So once Bichson and Seresh, those rascals, were found out. So after that, he wrote down Mordechai's name. Rashi says, Hatova Shasa Mordechai Lamelech. So he wrote down the good that Mordechai had done. Okay, so we see that, and ultimately we know from the story that the good that Mordechai did, eventually he repaid him with the whole story with the horse and Kachla Yasel Ish, Asher Melech Hafetz Bigarel. So we see that it paid off. But what exactly is the Midah Tova? What's the maybe we can categorize the Medrash and try to understand what exactly is the Midah Tovah about Achashverosh. And then once we can define it, then maybe we could understand, you know, why it fits into the context of Megillas Esther, and why it was hidden. So let's try. Is there a theme? I think there's one theme in all the qualities mentioned by Achashverosh. If anybody wants to chime in, feel free. But is there a theme? So I think the idea is, I think there is a theme, and I think that you see in each one of these cases, in the case of Belo Kesser of Malchus, Belo Kisei, and that he waited 4 years, and that he always asked, and the last one was that he wrote down what people did that was good for him. I think we see the concept of his ability to push things off, to be patient with regard to different aspects of his personality. So, for example, like we see by his malchus. So, an impulsive person wouldn't care to wait for the perfect chair, for the perfect throne, to express his malchus, but he would do it right away. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait 3 years before you have your throne. You know, just get a nice throne. But the fact that he was willing to wait shows you that he wasn't really an impulsive person. Also, he waited 4 years to get married to Esther. So another expression of his lack of impulsivity, that he was a thoughtful or patient person. And also we see that he always asked people for advice. So another aspect of his lack of impulsivity. And then finally, just repaying somebody for the good many years later also shows you that he didn't react in the immediate, but he was able to wait. He was able to put things aside in a patient way and not be impulsive and act when necessary. So these are good qualities that Achashverosh really expressed, but he was a Rasha nevertheless. So why should we know about these qualities? Why does the Medrash seem to highlight these qualities of his lack of impulsivity? And in fact, I mentioned before that there's another example of this, which is that after, we always assume in the Megillah that Achashverosh was this idiot, or many of us assume it, and that he was this psychopath and he was paranoid. But after the whole story with Esther and Haman, that Esther was trying to play on the paranoia of Achashverosh, which was certainly there. So you see that he says that he needs to go out for a walk. So if you remember, there's all these midrashim as to what happened to him on the walk and how the malachim got involved, and they were, and ultimately when he came back and he saw that Haman had fallen over and was basically on Esther or on her chair, so that's when he went nuts and that's when he burst out. But the fact that he stopped and he took a walk was an expression of also the same thing, lack of impulsivity. So I think the idea of knowing his good qualities, it was left out of the Megillah because he's a Rasha, and we're not supposed to learn from the ideas of, in fact, all of his impulsivity wasn't necessarily for the perfection or for the good. His lack of impulsivity wasn't exactly for the good. It wasn't like a tzaddik. He was a Rasha. He was motivated by evil. But what it teaches us, the Medrash teaches us, is that we can appreciate the sophistication of Esther's plan more so if we understand that Achashverosh wasn't this impulsive crazy nut who just reacted. That actually he was thoughtful, and we see that in many different situations that he didn't react right away. He wasn't impulsive. So I think the reason there's a double edge here. On the one hand, it was left out of the Megillah because we're not supposed to learn and look up to Achashverosh. She certainly was a Rasha. But on the other hand, the Medrash is showing us that the plan that Esther and Mordechai had hatched in order to play on the paranoia of Achashverosh, it was much more sophisticated and much more complicated than we who are reading the Megillah seem to commonly think. We seem to think, or at least the common notion of Achashverosh, was that he was very easy to manipulate and that he was very impulsive and that she was just kind of just playing on him and waiting for him to burst. But he wasn't like that. There were some aspects of him that actually made him a great leader, actually made him a powerful leader, and he wasn't this idiot, even though there's a medrash that says that there's a machlokas whether he's a tipish or not. But we see from the good qualities, his ability or his ability to hold off and not act impulsively was really an expression of the good that he had. But also I think it reflects on the sophistication of the plan of Mordechai and Esther, that they couldn't just they understood that about him. They understood that he wasn't just going to be impulsive, and that they really had to focus the plan and really play on him on a step-by-step basis, and it wasn't going to be a simplistic type of approach. So the Medrash, I think, is highlighting both of those aspects. But what about the concept of... So ultimately, sorry, before we go to the last point, but ultimately, you see from the beginning of the Medrash, the machlokes was, why did he party? Was it because he made this great throne, or was it because of Bittul Melaches Beis HaMikdash? So ultimately, the guy was an egomaniac, similar to Haman in that sense. He was driven by his ego, and Melaches HaKiseh, and the fact that he wanted to be in Shlomo's Kiseh, was an expression of the guy's crazy desire, narcissism, and the desire to be an egomaniac, or not the desire, but his egomania, that he wanted to, or he thought of himself as this destroyer of the Jewish people, and that he was replacing Shlomo, and he thought he was this great king. So the machlokas is really whether or not what the ego that was driving him was with regard to his power, it was both with regard to his ego and his power. But the question was, did it relate to his kingship or did it relate to his destruction of the Jewish people, i.e. like his sense of conquering God and destroying God? So that's a machlokas between the two sides. But nevertheless, the point of the Medrash is that it's highlighting that he was driven by his ego. He really was an egomaniac, but the sophistication of Ahasuerus was such that he was able to hold off. And even though he was an egomaniac, he wasn't an impulsive egomaniac. He wasn't an impulsive narcissist. Like we've seen, there's different examples of that where people who are narcissists, they tend to be impulsive in general. But he had this duality to him where on the one hand, he was this egomaniac. He was either driven by this fantasy that he had destroyed God and that's the whole idea of Bittul Melaches Beis HaMikdash, or that he was the type of king like Shlomo. He was this great wise king. So he had these fantasies. He was nuts. He was crazy. He was an egomaniac. But on the other hand, he was able to balance and he had this patience with regard to giving in to his ego, with regard to giving in to these terrible emotions and terrible aspects of his personality. So I think that's the Chiddush of the Medrash, that it's showing you the balance, the duality, that on the one hand, the typical person is an egomaniac and is usually impulsive and they just blow up, but Ahasuerus had both. He was an egomaniac, but he was able to control himself. He was able to wait. He was able to show patience and demonstrate it. So on the one hand, it was left out of the Megillah because, you know, Ahasuerus isn't our role model and we're not supposed to look at him as a tzaddik. But on the other hand, the Medrash shows us that really Mordechai and Esther had a much more difficult task than we give them, than we credit them, and as well as with the Hashgacha, because the nature of Ahasuerus was such that he was very deliberate. And we see that, and that's why I think the Medrash makes sense as to why he needed to be nudged after the whole Esther revealing herself, and that he went for a walk, and the Midrashim say that the Malachim affected him. I think it's showing you that he wouldn't have naturally killed Haman if not for the Hashgacha and if not for the sophistication of the plan of Esther and Mordechai, because he was able to hold off. He was able to demonstrate a certain level of patience. But there's another aspect, and I think this answers the Torah Tmimah's question. What's the whole idea that he didn't have Bia during the daytime? And why is it not included in the other list, the list of other good qualities? So I think Rabbi Unger's question was, it seems funny that he was noted for V'haftal Reicha Kamocha, that was a perfection of his, based on the fact that he didn't have Bia during the daytime. But what is that idea about Ahasuerus? So I think it's a different concept in terms of a positive quality. And I think that idea is that Ahasuerus knew how to, play on other people's emotions, and he knew how to lead and make other people feel important, make other people feel like they were special. And that's the idea of, let's say, a nimloch. So a ruler that's an authoritarian ruler, so they don't usually ask people for advice. They usually just choose for themselves. But he was able to lead in a way where he was obviously, or what made his malchus so powerful and what made his kingship so strong, his ability to relate to others. V'afalarech kamocha means that he had insight, or he was able to understand or identify with others, and as such, he was able to create connections and bonds. And even though we see that Bigson and Sarah try to kill him, but he had enough connections, human connections, that he was able to, through Mordechai and the people that respected him, that they protected him. So a person in that role, the role of king of that many states and that many countries, oftentimes it's very hard for them or that person to create those relationships and to really identify with others as such, to create connections with them, to create a loyalty. But that was what he was great at. That was a midah tova, that he was able to engender a loyalty, and that's an expression, or that's expressed through the fact that he didn't have bia during the daytime, because v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is the concept. He wasn't v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha in the perfected way, but it's the concept of identification, that just like you wouldn't want to be laughed at, it's like when somebody falls down and you laugh at them, and you don't want to be laughed at yourself. So there's an identification, there's a break of identification there, but when you identify with others, when you're empathetic towards others, so then you feel what they're feeling and you're sensitive to that. So the idea was that Ahasuerus wasn't an idiot. He actually had a sensitivity to others, how they were feeling. He was actually in tune to their emotions. And in that sense, he was a great leader, in the sense that he was able to, really bring, you know, bring other people into the mix. He was able to ask his advisors. He was able to remember the good that other people did for him, because the concept was that he had this good quality, that he was able to intuit and identify with others in order to engender a certain level of loyalty. So that, again, the same thing, same idea. The fact that Ahasuerus was willing to do that shows you that he wasn't this idiot. He understood what other people were doing, how other people felt, their emotions. He was in tune to that. He had some type of insight into that. So again, it just highlights the necessity of the Hashgacha in the situation of Megillas Esther with the plan of Mordechai and Esther in destroying Haman and having Ahasuerus help in that context. So that's really the last point that I wanted to make. The summary of the shir is that even though the Medrash points out and different Midrashim point out that Ahasuerus had these good qualities, so they were good qualities. And on the one hand, he was a Rasha and he was an egomaniac. But on the other hand, he had two different qualities to him. One was his ability to hold off on his impulsivity, and he wasn't impulsive at all. And the other good quality was that he was able to associate, identify with others. And even though these aren't, you know, objectively good because he was driven by his ego, but nevertheless, what it shows us about Ahasuerus is really a reflection of the need or the necessity of Hashgacha and the plan of Mordechai and Esther. And it shows you the improbability of the Jewish people succeeding based on his leadership type and his leadership skills. But nevertheless, they were able to with the Hashgacha and with Mordechai and Esther. So the purpose of the shir was to show you that the good qualities of Ahasuerus are really a reflection of the necessity of Hashgacha in Megillas Esther, and why we should appreciate the Hashgacha to a greater degree, and how much more difficult it was for Mordechai and Esther to actually play on Ahasuerus' emotions and actually get him to ultimately destroy Haman. Okay, so that's the end of the shir. Any questions? Any comments?